Good morning, everyone. I know I'm a little smaller than your usual guy, so I hope you can all see me okay. For our visitors, I am Xander Pastley, the regular preacher's son, and I'd like to thank the elders for letting me speak today. I'm very happy to be able to be up here. From Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to be talking about Christians as Plato. Now, we all know what this is, and you all know that I have four younger sisters, so we have a lot of this at our house, and it is used rather frequently. So, from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we're going to focus on verse 2. But one thing I do want us to see in verse 1 is Paul's urging, where he says, "I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God." That tells you how important what he's trying to tell them is, that he's telling them and he's urging them by the mercies of God. Think about how great that is. God casting Adam and Eve out of the garden instead of just killing them outright for their sin. A mercy of God. God saving Noah and his family with the flood instead of just destroying the entire earth and starting over. That's a mercy of God. Every single time in the wilderness when the children of Israel messed up and God said, "Okay, it's over, I'm going to destroy you." And then he didn't. It's a mercy of God. Him sending his only son to die on the cross so that we can spend an eternity in heaven with him. The greatest mercy of God. That's what Paul is calling upon when he says, "I urge you by the mercies of God." How much more important can you get? This is very serious stuff that Paul is talking to them about. So verse 2 talks about being conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So the first thing I want us to see with Christians as Plato is that we shouldn't conform to the world. So see, when I take this Plato and I kind of squish it around my finger, what has happened here? Well, the Plato has conformed to my finger. It shaped itself. It's molded around my finger so that on the inside, it's shaped kind of like my finger. And it looks kind of like my finger on the inside. It doesn't look like that on the outside because that was where I was squishing it with my hand. But it is conformed to my finger. And as Christians, there are several ways that we do need to be like Plato, but when it comes to the world, that's not one of them. We shouldn't conform to the world like Plato would conform to my finger. An example of someone conforming to something that wasn't right in the Bible is Galatians chapter 2, verses 12-13, which is, to me, a very kind of funny and memorable passage. Galatians chapter 2, verses 12-13 says, "For before certain men came from James, he being Peter, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy." So this is an example of conforming in a bad way, where Peter was doing right, and he was with the Gentiles, and he was spending time with them and sharing the gospel with them, and being a good Christian. And then James brings a group of Jews, and Peter's like, "Oh, Jews, I'm sorry, I can't hang out with you Gentiles anymore, goodbye." And he conforms to the Jews. And that's not right. And how many times at work, or I know, me at school, you conform to the people that you're around. And sometimes you don't even notice it. Like, when school got out a while ago, I was talking with my dad, I believe it was, and he said something that I liked, and all of a sudden I just went, "Hey," and I'm like, "Where'd that come from? I do not do that. It's weird to me." And now just all of a sudden I just did that, and it's from Fonz and Happy Days. And it took me a while because Dad showed me and he was like, "Oh, this is Fonz from Happy Days. He does that." And I'm like, "I've never seen that show. I have no clue what you're talking about." And so it took me a bit, but I realized, oh yeah, one of my classmates, he does that all the time. Whenever somebody says something that he likes, he'll go, "Hey." And over the summer break, I had picked that up from him and I hadn't even noticed it. And so sometimes you can conform to people and not even notice it. And that example, it's kind of funny. There's nothing good or bad about it. It happened. But when we need to be watching who we're around and what we do when we're around them and after we leave them, because sometimes we stick to things that aren't always good. That said, we are supposed to conform to something entirely different. We are supposed to conform to Jesus, God's Son. We are supposed to be like Him as much as we can. And that shows up in the next point, transform. We are supposed to be transformed. And, you know, I think transforming and conforming are really very, very similar things. Transforming is when, well, conforming is when you stick to something. Transforming is when you were stuck to something and you were on there. And then in the Bible, what God does is He takes you off and you come into His arms and He just takes you and He holds you and He gives you a little squeeze. And with us as Play-Doh, if you do this, what's going to happen? If you just put it between your hands and rub it around, well, it's going to be, instead of conformed to my finger, it's going to be transformed into a little ball. Now, I'm not good at making anything with Play-Doh, so this ball looks pretty bad. But you're transformed into a ball. And God, that's what He wants to do. He wants to take you from being conformed to the world, and He wants to hold you and squeeze you into His loving arms and shape you into His image. Now, obviously, this is not the image of God, but it makes the point. So, looking at transforming, Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6, Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6, in this section, God is talking to Jeremiah, and He says, "Go down to the potter's house, and once you're down there, I'm going to say things that I need to talk to you about." So Jeremiah chapter 18 verses 3 through 6 reads, "So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled. It was messed up. Something had gone wrong. It was broken. It was spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworked it. He took it, he remade it, he took the pieces and made it into something else. It was reworked into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.'" And you know, how many times are we supposed to be just like Play-Doh in God's hands, where He can mold us and shape us easily exactly the way He wants into His masterpiece, but we don't let Him? And it's interesting to think about that in that small way, we have power over God. And it's a power that we should give back to Him, because He knows what's best for us, and we need Him to shape us. But what happens when you take Play-Doh and you set it down on the kitchen table and you forget about it and you leave it out overnight? it dries up. And in the morning, you come out there and you're like, oh, yay, Play-Doh, I get to play with this, yay, woohoo. And it's hard as rock and you can't do anything with it. That's another thing that we do not need to be like. If you get stuck in the world and you're conformed to the world, you don't want to dry up. Because if you dry up, your heart is rock and nothing's going to be able to move you, really. But once God shapes us, then we need to be as hard as a rock. We need to harden against the world so that we don't conform to the world again. But we need to stay soft to God so that He can continue to change us, because God's transformation is a lifelong thing. But how do we know that that transformation is working? How do we know that God is working on changing us and building, making us in better? The answer is in Romans chapter 12, just a little bit later on, verses 9 through 21. Verses 9 through 21 of chapter 12. It's a rather large section. I'll read through some of it and then kind of just pick and choose with a little bit of the rest. But please read through it. There's some amazing characteristics in there and things that we should all strive towards. Verses 9 through 21 of Romans 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be empathetic, sympathize with people. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. So you can see here there's a lot of things that a lot of those are really, really hard for us to do as humans. But as Christians, that's what we should strive toward. And that's how you know that transformation is working. That's how you know that God is working on making you into a tool for Him so that He can use you, is if these things are happening in your life. And it's not going to come easy. You're going to have to work for it. But if you do, God will help you get there. So I talked a little bit earlier about Play-Doh drying out and getting all hard. But on the other side of things, right now, to keep it moldable and malleable, the Play-Doh is moist. It's kind of wet. And if it doesn't stay that way, then it'll dry out. So as Christians, that's another thing that we need to do. We need to stay moist. Because there's a little bit of a difference spiritually in drying out and staying moist. You can be hard, but still stay moist as a Christian. And we need to stay moist in God's Word. When you're baptized and you come up, you're drenched. But sometimes, not too long after that, you dry off. And spiritually, that is not what needs to happen. You need to stay moist in God's Word so that He can continue to mold you. Because if you dry up, you're not going to be able to be shaped anymore. So you need to stay moist in God's Word. And how does transformation happen? Well, you stay moist. But also, in the verse, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That by there, that's saying how you're transformed. You're transformed by your mind being renewed. So what is a renewing of your mind? It seems kind of fancy to me. Well, have you ever had it happen where somebody's trying to explain something to you and they're being patient, and you're not getting it, and you're not getting it, and you don't understand what they're trying to say, and then they say something, and then all of a sudden it's, oh, I got it. And it's like the world shifts and everything changes, and you're like, oh, I understand now. It's so much better. That's a renewing of your mind. It's when there's something that you didn't understand, that you didn't have hold of, and then all of a sudden, oh, I've got it. And sometimes it happens over time, and you just slowly change, and you slowly get a grasp on that. But sometimes it's rather sudden, where you're like, oh, okay, I understand now, and then you do it. And the first example of renewal that came to my mind, which is kind of funny to me, considering what our VBS is on, anybody guess? Paul. Paul, before his renewing of mind and his transformation because of that, he was a not-so-nice guy. And you can see that in Acts chapter 8. The verses I had are 1 through 3, where you can see that he's talking to the high priest, and he's like, hey, let me go over here to Damascus and get all the Christians there and kill them and persecute them and drag them off to jail. And yeah, he's pretty much just horrible to the Christians at that time. But then after his renewal and his transformation, you can see in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22, where he's on the road to Damascus, and he thinks he's doing right. He's got hold of this idea. And then the light shines, and it blinds him, and Jesus is talking to him, and you can see the confusion there, where he's like, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, what? Persecuting you? Who are you, Lord? I'm doing what's right here. These Christians, they're terrible people. They're not following God's law. I'm not persecuting. I'm doing good. And then Jesus sends him to Damascus and says, this guy's going to come and talk to you. And Ananias explains things to him. And then you can kind of see that light bulb moment, that moment where Paul goes, oh, I see it now. Okay, everything is clear. And Ananias says, basically, what are you waiting for? Get up. Let's go baptize you. And then from that moment, you can see Saul's transformation from super anti-Christian terrorist to super missionary. And he becomes really, I don't want to say an idol, but someone that we as Christians, I think almost all of us look up to, because he was really a great person and a great tool for God. Another less well-known renewal and transformation is that of John Mark. And you can see that in Acts chapter 15, verses 37 through 39. Acts chapter 15, verses 37 through 39. And it reads, now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. So you can see that Paul, we don't know exactly what happened, but Barnabas wants to take John Mark with them on this missionary trip. And Paul's like, uh-uh, it ain't happening. This kid, he left us on the last missionary trip we went on. He's not coming with us this time. He gave up last time. I'm not taking him. And you can see it says there's a sharp disagreement so bad that Paul and Barnabas split up over it. I'm thinking there's some yelling going on. Paul's getting real angry. We don't know exactly, of course, but you can kind of picture that happening enough so that they split ways. And so you can kind of see who John Mark was before. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, you can see who he is after his renewal. In that verse, Paul says, only Luke is with me. Now, when you come, bring John Mark, because he is useful to me. Some translations say he's a comfort to me. And you can see some how John Mark has changed, where he went from giving up to now he's useful. He is a comfort to Paul. But at the same time, you can see Paul's mind was renewed there. He went from seeing John Mark as someone who gave up on the work and someone who was not useful to someone who was a comfort, like a son to him, maybe. And you can see the change there in the transformation. And that happened because their minds were changed. And a lot can happen when someone's mind is changed. So from these couple of verses, we can see how important this is, because Paul stresses, by the mercies of God, brethren, please do these things. And he says, don't conform to the world. Don't be like the people out there. They're not doing right. Be transformed. Stick to God's Son. Be like God. Let Him shape and mold you into His work of art. And that happens by staying moist in God's Word so that He can keep molding you, and by renewing your mind, by keeping your mind changed constantly to the way God wants it to be. So if you've grown apart from Him, you can come back. If you're broken, the Master Potter can always put your pieces back together better than they were before. God and His church are here for you. If you need to come for any reason, please come.